we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. We are going to get this program up and running one way or the other, and we're going to do it with a smile on our face today. So my name is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio program brought to you by the Saints of Merritt Assembly of God. And we want to take this opportunity to say thank you for tuning in and allowing the Word of God to penetrate your heart. And today we're going to be in the book of Habakkuk. I'm going to tell you that now so that you can begin looking for that book. It's towards the back of the Minor Prophets, which is towards the back of the Old Testament. It is right next to Zephaniah, and then after Zephaniah comes Haggai, then comes Zechariah, and then before you know it, you're in Malachi. And then you're into Matthew. So if you go to Matthew and turn left, you will find the book of Habakkuk. And we're going to be in chapter 3 today. So we want to ask you to be praying for us as we're taking kids to camp today and that they will have a wonderful time. This was our largest group of kids we've ever got to send to camp. And 15 kids total between the two. And, you know, it just wasn't that long ago where we did not have very many boys or girls, teenagers. We set out deliberately about 6 years ago at a word of instruction from God to begin to pour into the lives of kids. And I will tell you this, if you will be faithful to what God tells you to do, God will be faithful to bring people into your life. And so I was, having a conversation with a lady in my church here not too long ago, and she was saying, Pastor Bob, thank you so much for the sermons. She said, your preaching is always good, but the sermons over the past couple of weeks have been really, really good. And one of the things that I have been reflecting on is I want to be the cause of God rejoicing. And I'm just so thankful for that. You know, the Bible says that God rejoices, angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. And so we're really excited about what God is doing. We've had a number of people who've given their heart to Jesus in the past month. We've had family members who've been praying for other families, members' salvation for years and years and years, and they just gave their heart to Jesus here recently. And so we're very thankful for that. We've got a lady in our church. She's been praying for a family member, and he gave his heart to Jesus. And so we've seen like four or five salvations since our 65th anniversary service. We're very excited about that. We've had a couple of young people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this coming Sunday, we are going to be having a baptismal service, and a number of our young people are going to be baptized in water. And so we're very excited about that. That's going to be taking place after our morning service, and there's also going to be a picnic after that where we're going to be celebrating. I think that we need to celebrate the victories that God brings our way. And so if you'd like to be a part of a church that's reaching young people, we would love to invite you out. Now, I don't want you to think that we are a mega church or anything like that. We are not. I don't want you to think that we've got nearly as many young people as they do. We don't. But the young people that come, they're being loved on, they're being equipped for ministry, and in the future, they're going to be mighty men and women of God, and we're excited about that. So let's get to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3 and verse number 17. Habakkuk is an interesting book because Habakkuk begins praying to God and say, God, how long are you going to put up with wicked Israel? And God tells him, hey, don't worry about it. I'm going to bring Babylon, and I'm going to deal with the sin of my people. And all of a sudden, Habakkuk says, wait a minute. How can you use a people more wicked than your own people to discipline your people? And let me just read what God responds. And he says, this is in Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch and see what he will answer me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he who may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. I will not tarry. And so what God says is, don't worry about Babylon. I'm going to deal with them too. And I would just speak this to you, and that is, we don't have to worry about how God is going to handle other people in other circumstances. If there was one way that I could summarize what God said to Habakkuk in his two prayers, it was this: I've got this under control. I've got it. I've got a plan. I'm going to deal with it. And so if you and I will, in our relationship with God, say, God, how are you going to deal with me? right. I want the vision for my life. And my wife and I, we have a vision statement from God. It goes way back. It goes back to the summer before we got married, where God said, I am calling you to pick up what other people have discarded and deemed as worthless, and I'm going to cause you to restore them and to restore value to them, because even though they may have been discarded by society, I see value in them. So that's what we do. Our house was a fixer-upper, still a fixer-upper. Our Merit Assembly of God was a fixer-upper. The people who have come to Merit Assembly of God. You see, we are very much like a spiritual hospital. People come in their time of need, and then we speak the word into their life, and the word brings healing. And then, you know, unfortunately, too many times, once they're healthy, they move on to another place. But that's what people do at a hospital. They come in when they're sick, they get made well, and then they move on. And so if you do by chance ever visit Merit Assembly of God, you will not see the largest crowd, but you will also not see this. You will not see the lives that we touch, because God's keeping a record of that. Here a couple of weeks ago, we had a lady that was down for a visit, and when it would go back a long, long time, probably 22, 23 years ago, and she started coming to church, and she gave her heart back to the Lord. She rededicated her life to the Lord. Her kids got saved. And about a month after her husband gave his heart to the Lord, they got transferred. There was a job offer that came in that relocated them out of the district, out of our state into another geographic region, and they've been there ever since. And so if you would have looked at our numbers, for that year, you would have seen that our attendance numbers went down, but you would have also seen that our kingdom impact increased. And so those people went up there and they grew in their faith, and they serve faithfully in their church. And so how about we allow God to be the Lord of the harvest, and we serve him in faith, not by what we see. So if you come to Merit Assembly of God, you won't see the largest church, but you will see people who are being faithful to the call of God on their lives and doing their best to touch and impact people as much as they can. Habakkuk chapter 3, I hope you found it by now. We're going to begin reading in verse number, let me read this. Verse number 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now let me read verse number 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on the high places to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. To set the stage for this, I want you to know that we're talking about that those who abide in the Spirit, they are going to bear spiritual fruit. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit that is love, and now we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit that is joy. And it is a joy that is not based on our earthly circumstances. It is not based on a disturbing message that we may get like Habakkuk did. It is not based on other people. It is based upon our relationship with the Lord. And so let me tell you what verse 18 says, because it is the ultimate, it is the climax of the speech that he makes. And he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And so there should be a well of joy that you and I tap into, that when there is disappointment all around, that you can still tap into that well of joy. There's still someplace. Recently, I was having some plumbing work done at my house, and they had the water shut off, and there came a time when I needed water, and I had stored up water in the refrigerator because I didn't know how long the project was going to last. I'm not a plumber. My father can do it. My brother can do it. My grandfather can do it. It takes me several attempts to get things to not leak generally. If I get it the first time, there is revival in the house. But I knew this, that sometimes when you're dealing with construction issues, that you run into problems. And if you run into problems plumbing, that means that you've got to shut the water off to the entire house. And so I made sure that we had water put aside in case we needed water while the water was turned off. And that's what our salvation is. Our salvation is our reservoir that when natural resources of joy are cut off, that we can say, you know what? I still have a well of joy that I can tap into because my God saved me of my sins, and he is the one who makes me whole. So he says, I am going to rejoice in the Lord. We talked last week about Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so look at all of the conditions. Though the fig tree may not blossom. Now, I'm not a big fan of figs, so if fig trees don't blossom, it's not really going to impact me too much, except for it was one of the crops that grew naturally in Israel. And if you lost one of, I think there were 7 different crops that they grew at that time, if all of a sudden you lost, say, 15% or 14% of your agricultural production in the community, that is a serious blow to an agrarian society. So if you take a 14% pay cut, can you still rejoice in the Lord? And Habakkuk said, absolutely, I can do that. I can do that. And, you know, my wife and I, we've answered the call to, I answered the call to serve in Chicago, and the pay there was not good. And we came, after we married, we moved to Tulsa, and we got to where we were surviving there. And then we answered the call of God to go to Texas, where we took a pay cut. And then we got to where we were surviving there as a family of three, and then we answered the call of God to come to Florida, where we took a pay cut. And we got to where we were surviving there, and then we answered the call of God to come to Merit Assembly of God, where we got no pay. That's a serious pay cut. But that was just a season. It wasn't forever. And I will tell you that You should be able to rejoice in the God of your salvation, whether your bank account is flush, just absolutely stuffed to the gills, or whether you can see every contour in the gills because your reservoir, your finances is so empty. You see, I can take you to places in the world where they probably don't have $5 to their name, and yet they rejoice in God because they know that their bank account is temporary, but their God is forever. And so the fig tree isn't blossoming, but he says, I'm still going to rejoice. He says, if there's no fruit on the vines, if the vineyards are failing, if there's no grapes that are growing, I'm still going to rejoice. So now you're up to a third of your economy, roughly, is being impacted, that there's nothing going on. And he says, though the labor of the olive may fail. So now not only are you missing grapes, not only are you missing figs, now you're missing olives as well, and half of your economy is tanking. And then he goes, and the fields yield no food. Now you are talking about substantial famine, because they grew barley, they grew wheat. There was various grains that they grew, and their economy failed. You say, well, it can't get much worse than that. Don't tell that to Habakkuk. Listen to what it says. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, though there be no herd in the stalls. Okay, so now there are no sheep and there are no cattle. We are now talking about a desperate, desperate situation. And Habakkuk says that in spite of all of the external disappointments, all of the different stress points, that Habakkuk says this, I will rejoice in the Lord. What if I told you that joy needed your will in order to have a reality in your life? Do you realize that you can choose to be angry, or you can choose to be filled with joy? It is a choice. It is. Which one are you going to impose? And so I knew I was getting ready to come in here and talk about joy. You might think that that's an easy thing for pastors to do, if you don't really understand the dynamics of pastoral ministry. You might think that we never get difficult news. You might think that there's nothing bad that ever happens. You might think that there are no challenges that we ever face. And as I was driving this morning, I said, God, I am going to tap into the joy of your presence. In your presence, God, there is fullness of joy. I just shared about that on the radio, God. In your presence, there is fullness of joy, even life forevermore, God. I am going to tap into who you are, because it is not about my circumstances or my bank account or how productive I am at work or anything like that. It is a joy that is birthed in who you are, and I'm going to impose my will upon my circumstances. I'm not going to allow my circumstances to impose their will on me. So I will rejoice. You know, sometimes at church, I will take the position and say, come on, church, we are going to rejoice in God. We are going to praise him right now. Lift up your hands, lift up your voice, and let's begin to rejoice in what God has done. And then I told you about what that the lady from my church said is, you know, today I want to be a source of joy for my God. You know, the devil does not understand it when you are able to worship God and rejoice in him when everything around you is falling apart. He doesn't understand that. He is so persuaded that people are so shallow, that Christians are so shallow, that they can be manipulated by their circumstances into disavowing God, disobeying God, cutting off fellowship from God, that he is so convinced. I mean, all you got to do is look at Job, and when God says, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, yes, he's blessed. You cheat. You cheat. You manipulate them by providing them with financial blessing, but if you cut that off, he's going to deny you. And God said, you don't know Job the way that I know Job. And so everything, he suffered family loss. He suffered loss of resources. He suffered tremendous defeat. And yet he continued to worship God. And so God says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, yes, you cheated. You didn't let me touch everything. And he said, you can't take his life, because I know that there is a depth of relationship that is in Job that is deeper than the superficial things that you are talking about. And at the very end, Job came shining brightly. Now, not everything was a highlight reel. I tell people, you know, be careful when you start challenging God, because it is very evident in the book of Job that one day God's going to show up and he said, you've asked me a bunch of questions. Now it's my turn. You hush. I'm going to ask the questions and you answer them. And Job said, I spoke about things I did not understand. I had heard of you, but now I have experienced you. And Job was able to pray for his comforters to be comforted, because they did a lousy job of comforting. And so he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Listen to verse number 19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Habakkuk said, as I abide in God, and even though everything all around me, all of the circumstances and all of the superficial things in life are falling apart, God, who is my foundation and my goal, he is not falling apart. He has everything under control, and it is him that is my strength, not the figs, not the grapes, not the olives, not the sheep. Not the grain, not the barley, not the cattle. None of that sort of stuff is my strength. My strength is in God. It says this, he will make my feet like deer's feet. Okay? Deer have the ability to climb where humans cannot go. And Habakkuk says, He is going to enable me and empower me to ascend to heights that I could have never achieved on my own. I may not have the capabilities right now, but I'm going to rejoice because he is going to make me in the future have abilities that I do not naturally possess. He will make me walk on my high hills. This was actually a song. The verse says, to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. And today I want you to know, I want you to rejoice in what God is making you to be able to do. Okay. Too many times Christians limit the potential of what God can do because they look at themselves instead of looking at God. They look at themselves and say, well, I can't do that. I don't have the figs to be able to do that. I don't have the grapes to be able to do that. I don't have the olives to be able to do that. The grain isn't there. The barley isn't there. We can come up with a million reasons of what isn't there. But today, how about we shift our focus to find out who is there, and that is God. When everything else is gone, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, if you have given your heart and your life to him, he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He never experiences famine. He never experiences crop failure. He never experiences drought. He is faithful to be there all of the time, and he is a strength that you and I can tap into, and we can rejoice in our God. Today, what choice will you make? What choice will you make? Will you choose to lament, or will you choose to rejoice? As for me and my house, we're going to choose to rejoice in the Lord. We're going to choose to serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to rejoice in God because one day this economy won't matter at all. One day, the problems you face are all going to be over. I just was preaching here not long ago out of the book of Revelation, where he changes the atmosphere, where there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, nothing like that. He will make you have the ability to walk in victory over all of your trials and all of your circumstances. God is good. I suggest today that you choose to rejoice in the God of your salvation and that you manifest that joy to others around you. You know what? There were probably a whole bunch of people that were complaining about the same things Habakkuk was talking about. Habakkuk is the one we remember. You know why? Because he chose to rejoice in God. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, tell my praise to you. It's like an ocean breeze.